Let's have a word of prayer before we start. Our loving God and our Father, we thank you for all the young hearts here today. We pray that each one has a desire to go on for you, to live for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the word of God that we have, and we pray for help now as we open it up, that we might glean a little something for our souls. We thank you for the precious ministry that we've had already this day, and we pray that some of that also would sink down into our minds and hearts and affect our lives. So we pray now for help. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It was a long time ago when I sat in your seat. But I used to think, well, all of these, my friends that I rub shoulders with, we're all going to go on and we'll all, like we just sang, we'll all get to heaven. But I'm afraid that's probably not true. Maybe you think that now, that we're all Christians here. And like the gospel preacher said earlier this night, you can't tell. He couldn't tell in that group. Maybe there's some that are lost. And so before I speak to Christians, I'd like to speak to any who are not the Lord's, who are not saved. I'd like to read a verse in Matthew 27. This is kind of a brutal verse, and I sort of hesitate to bring it up. Matthew 27:36. For those of you who don't have a Bible before you, it's at the crucifixion, and the word is, "And sitting down, they watched him there." You ever seen somebody suffocate or lose their breath, or try to catch their breath? And almost invariably, the reaction is to try to help to breathe for them if you can. That's what happens on a crucifixion. The crucified one dies of suffocation. They try to stand up with their nail-pierced hands and feet. They try to raise up and catch a breath, and then they drop back down. And they raise up and they catch another breath, and they drop back down. And pretty soon their strength wanes, and they can't do that anymore, and they die of asphyxiation. They can't breathe anymore. Can you imagine sitting and watching somebody suffocate and just sit there and watch them without any motivation? They were not moved at all. And I kind of wonder about this. No doubt these people knew who Jesus was. And I look at it as a little picture. How many people here have been raised in Christian homes and knew about the Lord Jesus all their lives and are not moved when they think of Christ, of the Lord Jesus dying on the cross, dying of suffocation? Are you moved? You've heard all your life about the Lord Jesus. Are you moved by what he went through? You know, they say familiarity breeds contempt. I'm afraid sometimes we get complacent. We hear too much, and we hear it over and over again, and it doesn't mean anything to us after a while. I hope there's no one here who is not moved by the death of the Savior. I'd like to turn back to Proverbs 4. I want to speak to Christians. I assume that when we sang, when we all get to heaven, everybody here meant it. I'd like to speak about the occupation of our heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, Brother Ed Staggs in the second reading meeting talked about how the important things in life are relationships. You remember he talked about, it doesn't matter if you have a big house, but if you don't have a happy relationship with your wife, then it's for naught, isn't it? The important things in life that we will look back on at the end of our life are the things that our hearts were taken up with. And so I'd like to ask, what is your heart taken up with? What is my heart taken up with? When Mark asked me to speak, I thought, well, apparently I need some exhortation. Because I feel like when I prepare to speak like this, it touches my heart too. So So what is your heart and what is my heart taken up with? What important things that drive us are our hearts taken up with? At work last week, I got a big box. It was on my desk. And it said, it had handwritten on it, unknown. It was the mail clerk writes unknown on it when it's not addressed to anybody at our research station. Usually it comes to my office because most of the people in my office forget to put their name on when they order something. So I looked at the box and I thought, well, one way we can figure out who it's for is to see who it's from. So I looked on the label and it was shipped by Amazon. Anybody here know what the true address when it says Amazon, what it really says? It doesn't just say Amazon. What's it say? Anybody here buy anything from Amazon? Anybody here? Remember what it says on the sticker? It says Amazon Fulfillment Services. So any of you who bought from Amazon, have you felt fulfilled after you bought it? Now, I'm not going to malign the good people at Amazon because I know those people that work there. They don't have it in their mind that they're going to make people's lives fulfilled by sending out doodads and trinkets and whatever it is they sell. They're just doing what their bosses tell them. And their bosses don't have some evil intent. They're just doing what the CEO tells them. And the CEO is just doing what the stockholders tell him, what the board of directors and the stock. And the stockholders are just doing what the God of this world tells them, right? And the God of this world is trying to fool you and me and everybody else in this world by thinking that doodads and trinkets will fulfill our minds and our hearts. And you're not immune to it just because you're a Christian. We're all capable of having our hearts drawn away by the doodads and trinkets and things of this world that really have no meaning. Just to finish the metaphor, I opened up the box and it had a bunch of empty boxes inside. And that's what Satan provides to this world, isn't it? I had six empty Ziploc boxes with nice little snaps on that we had ordered that we could put stuff in. And that's what happens, isn't it? We get attracted to Satan's schemes, and we get something, and then we have to get something to put in there, and that doesn't satisfy us, so we get more things, and more boxes, and more things, and by the time we get all done, we've just spent a lot of time, and we're still as empty. Let's turn over a page. I want to talk about delight, the delight of the heart, because delight really is the full expression of the enjoyment of the heart. And the greatest example of delight, I believe, is a familiar one to all of us in Proverbs 8. It speaks of the past eternity of the Father and the Son. And I'll just read two verses, Proverbs 8, 30 and 31. Then I was by him, that speaks of the Lord Jesus, I believe. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Here is full satisfaction. We were talking about satisfaction before, about Amazon fulfilling us and getting satisfied. Here is full satisfaction. God the Father enjoying and delighting in his Son for all of past eternity. Interesting, it says daily his delight. How many days are there in glory? Mark? It's one long day, isn't it? So why does it say daily? I think it really means there was never a moment in time when the Father when the Father did not enjoy the Son. When the Father did not delight in the Son. And then it says, the Son's delight. And my delights were in the sons of men. Here is divine satisfaction. Notice in the next verse down, it says,
Verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways.
You know, we heard about today that we have the capacity to enjoy the fellowship of the Father and the Son, to enjoy the same kind of delight. We have the capacity to do that if we are born again, if we're in, if we've taken Christ as our Savior. We have the capacity to enjoy, to delight, our hearts can be delighted with the Father and the Son. And we can enjoy that relationship. It doesn't mean automatically that we will, but we have that opportunity, that capacity. Let's turn to Psalms 37. David says it well when he says in Psalms 37 and verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. This is an enjoinder. It doesn't mean automatically that just because we know Christ as Savior, we will delight in him. So David enjoins us here. He says, delight thyself in the Lord. And often we get this backwards, don't we? It says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. And often we get it backwards, and we try to fill the desires of our heart first, and oh, by the way, I'm going to delight in the Lord a little bit too. Yeah, add that to the other delights that I enjoy. This is altogether backwards, isn't it? If we focus on the Lord Jesus and we delight ourselves in him, our hearts will want the things that he provides and we'll be satisfied. We'll have fulfillment in our own lives. The fulfillment that Amazon can't fulfill, that Satan tries to take away from us, we can have when we delight ourselves in the Lord. How do we do that? I mean, that sounds maybe just like meeting talk. How do we delight ourselves in the Lord? Let's turn over to Psalms, our Song of Solomon. There's a lovely little picture here of the bridegroom and the bride, the bridegroom delighting herself in the bridegroom. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 3. She compares her beloved to an apple tree. She says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. You ever lay down underneath a tree in the shade and look up and see all of the intricate designs from the branches and the leaves, and the pattern of the light coming through? And I like to think of that this way, of this verse that way. She sat down under the shade of her beloved. You know, you and I, as Christians, we sit under the long shadow of the cross, of the Lord Jesus, that's cast down through the ages. And we can sit there and we can revel in who he is and what he's done and all of the benefits that have come to this world and to us, men and women through the ages, and all of the beauties of the Lord Jesus when we enjoy him, when we revel in him, when we delight in him. Think of who he is, of what he's done, how he came to this earth, how he gave up his heavenly glory. He left his heavenly glory and came down here for you and for me. Think of his dedication to the Father as he walked through this earth. My will is to do the will of him that sent me. How perfect he walked through this life. No, and never a mistake. He satisfied God at every turn. Think of all these things, and it's like reveling in that, sitting in the shadow of him and just thinking about all his glories, all his intricacies. That will fill our hearts. That will make us fulfilled. Notice it says also, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Think of the fruits of the Spirit that we enjoy, that actually the world appreciates. Love, joy, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. All those things that actually the world around us, whether they like it or not, they appreciate, but that we can enjoy too. This fruit is sweet to my taste. Delight thyself in the Lord. What other things can we delight in as believers? Let's look at Psalms 1, a pretty common verse. Psalms 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of, or standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Our brother Bob Tony enjoined us today about that. About being serious in the Word of God, delighting in His Word. If we delight in who He is, we should delight in what He says too. Do you delight in the Word of God? Do you pick it up and like to read it? Do you appreciate what it has to say? Do you enjoy what it has to say? Does it mean something to you? You can only cultivate a taste for the Word of God by reading, by delighting in it. And then it says, and in His law that you meditate day and night. You delight in His Word and what He has to say. One more. Psalm 16. Another thing that we can delight in that is fulfilling to our minds and our hearts. Psalm 16, verse 3 is the words of Lord Jesus, as the faithful servant. He says, Thou art my Lord, in verse 2, my goodness not extendeth not to you, to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. He delights in His beloved, in you and me. Do you delight in being with His own? If you delight in Him, and you delight in His words, do you like to be with His own? Perhaps you say, well, they're not really like me and I don't really get anything out of being with my brethren. Perhaps if you delight in the Lord Jesus, and perhaps if you delight in His Word, then when you're there with them, they benefit instead of just you. Do you delight in being with His own? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Be with His brethren. It'll be an encouragement to your own heart, to those whom He delights in. He delights in you too, and He delights to see all of His brethren together. I have one more little exhortation in Mark 10. This is the story of the rich young ruler. And when he was gone forth into the way, that's the Lord Jesus, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, for he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. What are you going to fill your mind and heart with? What things are you going to delight in? It's interesting. I almost think the Lord had a sense of humor here. When he told this rich young man, you're short one thing. What was that one thing? He loved his possessions more than he loved the Lord, didn't he? He was occupied with all those possessions, and they had got a grasp on his heart, and he loved them more than he loved the Lord. I hope that none of us, the last verse that we read is not characteristic of any of us here. He went away sad, for he had great possessions. Delight thyself in the Lord. Let him fill your heart. Let's pray. Our loving God and our Father, we thank you that we have the capacity to enjoy the Lord Jesus. Pray for help now, that we might devote our lives. We might be attracted to Him and devote our lives to living for Him and delight ourselves in the person of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Word of God, for the Spirit of God that can make it good to our minds and hearts. Now we pray for blessing on each one here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.